You know, we all appreciate a confident leader, but no one would have used the word confident to describe Moses' leadership style. Not even Moses himself thought he was confident. After 40 years on the backside of the desert, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and called him back to Egypt to deliver Israel out of bondage. Despite the miraculous appearing of God and the obvious display of his grace, the overwhelming response Moses displayed was doubt. Many of us also struggled to believe that God could use us. We wish for a strong and godly marriage, but we believe that's only for other people with different upbringings. We hear messages about giving, but we decide that must just be for the wealthy. We know God has called us to witness, but we suppose that only the talkative people can really do that well. You have to be outgoing to do that. We fail to see how God could use a storm to bring peace, or how he could bring revival from the midst of apathy. Even though we hear the promises of God, we reason ourselves into a place of doubt, where we subconsciously expect God to not keep his word. But doubt is not a good dwelling place for the Christian. We must realize that with God's calling comes God's enabling. God is never going to call you to do something without enabling you to get the job done. So first, let's look at number one, the reluctance of Moses. The reluctance of Moses, one we can often relate to. Even after the revelation of the burning bush, Moses turns and contradicts the promises of God. From our text, Exodus 4:1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, 'But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" So he's calling into question what God had just told him. That's because, letter A, his lack of faith. It's an example of his lack of faith. Moses sure didn't look like the kind of leader one would imagine that God would use. He had heard the promise of God, but flatly declared that God had made a mistake in choosing him to do the job. He's basically told God that his plan would never work. We don't know why Moses felt this way. Maybe it was because of the murder he had committed back in Egypt. Perhaps this convinced Moses he was not the man God wanted to deliver Israel. One thing is for certain, Moses could not deliver the people. Only God could do that. Moses was not truly going to conquer Pharaoh, but God simply wanted a witness that he could use. God is still looking for witnesses of him today. When it comes to having a godly home and raising a godly family or being a godly witness, none of us are able. And that's the point, that worry and ourselves are not able. We are unqualified, but God is not. God is qualified, and he is able to use even us to accomplish his work. There in your worksheet, Philippians 1:6 tells us, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Another great promise. This confidence is not found in ourselves, in our abilities. It is not found in believing that we can live the Christian life or build a vibrant ministry or make a walk with God happen. This confidence is placed in Christ through believing his promise that he will finish the work he has started in us. God has called us to be his followers and to be light for him. And since he has called us to do that, then he is going to do it through us. There on the worksheet, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Wow. Many of God's servants have had a season of doubt, but God desires to strengthen our faith. This is a picture of G. Campbell Morgan. Had already enjoyed some success as a preacher by the time he was 19 years old. But then he came to an eclipse in his faith while he was teaching at the Jewish Collegiate School for Boys. Liberalism and German rationalism were becoming the accepted norm in many theological circles, and questions of doubt were beginning to plague Campbell. And I just thought, you know, much like our own pastor, you know, went to a Christian university and started having more doubts because of the liberalism that had snuck into the curriculum and into the professors, you know, teaching there. Well, Campbell, after struggling through questions regarding the reliability of God's word, Morgan finally turned directly and solely to the Bible for help. He set aside all the books he had been reading on both sides of the arguments and went to a bookshop down the street where he purchased a brand new, unmarked Bible. As he returned to his room to study it, he thought to himself, "I am no longer sure that this is what my father claims it to be, the Word of God. But of this I am sure. If it be the Word of God, and if I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul of itself." Indeed, as Campbell studied God's Word, his faith was renewed, and he emerged from this experience absolutely sure that the Bible was, in every deed and truth, none other than the Word of the living God. He then spent the rest of his life preaching the Bible. You know, and I think so often, any of us don't have to go to Bible school. At some point, there's some kind of comes a question of our faith. And we need to get over that. And the best way to do it is to trust His Word and be in His Word so you know what you're trusting. You too may go through a season of doubt, or maybe you're in one right now. When this happens, as it did for Moses, remember that God strengthens our faith through His promises. Moses was failing to listen to God, and this is why his faith was lacking. You see in Exodus 3:12 there on the worksheet, "And he said, 'Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain.'" I thought about it, you know, he's already saying what the outcome's going to be. You know, yeah, they go through, we know of all the craziness they went through, but God already had told him right there what he promised the outcome to be. It's kind of like, you don't need to worry about all this crazy stuff that's going to happen to you. But how many of us are like that? We worry about everything going on, you know, and even though we're promised eternity and to spend it with him, we can get caught up in the news of the day and what's going on. God had already told Moses what he was going to do, that he was going to do the delivering. But Moses wasn't listening to God. God has also given us many promises. But like Moses, we doubt it would ever be true for us. There's a great quote there on your worksheet from Martin Lloyd-Jones. "The ultimate cause of all spiritual depression is unbelief. For if it were not for unbelief, even the devil could do nothing. It is because we listen to the devil instead of listening to God that we go down before him and fall before his attacks." Wow, just even give a little listen to the devil because of our unbelief. Unbelief was why Moses was on the backside of the desert. And it's why Elijah was cowering under the juniper tree. And it's why other great men of God have struggled in times of doubt. It's not that we have to feel we're the only ones. We see, and that's what's so great about the Bible, pointing out so many great men that have gone through a season of doubt. This great lack of faith is why we also struggle to believe God can and will use us. We simply don't believe God. I feel like Pence up here with the fly landing on my head, don't I? I don't know if you can see that at home. If you see that, some fly after me. All right. Yes, Moses had a lack of faith, but next, he also had, letter B, a lack of vision. A lack of vision. Moses also had a lack of vision that was causing him to fail to see what God wanted him to see. On the worksheet, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Vision means biblical understanding. So if you don't have biblical understanding and a biblical perspective that enables you to see life the way God sees it, you won't be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. This is why it's so important that Christians develop vision. an understanding of His Word. We need men who have a biblical vision for their family, and mothers who have a vision for Christ-like home and a godly atmosphere, lest their children perish. We need church members who have a vision for the potential for their church to impact their community and shape the lives of their youth. And just insert this picture, because we were such a great example of that yesterday, people. I just so excited about the event we had and reaching out to all the kids and the community and just to see them come together, you know, here. And so many members that participated. It was just, what a blessing. Just such a blessing to us, but more so to the community and to God, I think. And I just, when I saw the words in there, to shape the lives of the youth, and Pastor Jamie doing such a great job with the youth, and how many youth were there yesterday to come out. It's just neat to see what God is doing. And again, His timing in the lesson and everything that's going on there. Because people will perish without a biblical vision. If so it was that if Moses didn't get God's vision, an entire generation of people would have perished. Maybe Moses' lack of vision was because of his past failures. His excuse was that he feared the Israelites wouldn't listen to him because they would question where he got his authority to declare that God had sent him to bring Israel out of bondage. He may have also feared that their doubt of his authority was a result of the murder of the Egyptian man. Exodus 2, 13 and 14 there says, "And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And then he fled into the desert." Moses' Hebrew brothers confronted him about his sin, and he, no doubt, felt like anything but a leader. He went hundreds of miles away to Midian and distinctly remembered those words of failure. The Israelites hadn't seen him as a leader then. They probably wouldn't see him one as now, was his thinking. Undoubtedly, you have had hurtful words said to you in your past. Maybe you were called ugly, stupid, worthless, or told you'd never make it. Maybe you've been told that God could never use you, or sometimes that something's all your fault. Well, maybe those words from your past are blurring your vision today. Instead of listening to the accuser of the brethren, you must choose to listen to God. Don't let your past blur the vision of what God wants to do with your future. Another quote there from Martin Lloyd-Jones: "To dwell on the past simply causes failure in the present." Wow. To dwell on the past simply causes failure in the present. If we're thinking we can't do it, we won't, and we'll fail. Philippians 3 says it this way, 13 and 14 on the worksheet: "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." So never let past failures or disappointments hold you back from serving the Lord. And don't ruin your future by living in your past. Sometimes you have to put your past failures behind you so that you can accomplish what God has for you in the future. Put it behind you and move forward. There's a story of a 12-year-old boy. He was throwing stones and accidentally killed one of his family's geese. Figuring his parents wouldn't notice one missing goose out of the many geese they owned, he simply buried it. His crime, however, was not without a spectator, as was revealed when his sister used the power of blackmail to strike a deal. "I saw what you did, and if you don't wash the dishes for me, I'll tell Mom you killed the goose." So the boy did the dishes for many days, until one night when finally he said he wasn't going to do them anymore. His sister again threatened to tell their mom, to which he replied, "I already told her, and she forgave me. I'm free again. And just sometimes that's just a freeing thing sometimes, you know. Confession can free us up. Satan may be holding a past failures over your head like blackmail. But if you are saved, your sin is under the blood of Christ. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. And in the eyes of God, you are not identified by your sin any longer. It's gone. Psalm 103, 11 and 12 there says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Wow. We can't even reach him if we wanted to, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. God invites you to confess your sins to him and trust in his forgiveness. There's the part we have to do, is trust that forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But in addition to Moses' past failure, another reason he may have had a lack of vision was his lack of faith. Moses told God, "They will not believe me." But what he may well have said was, "I do not believe you." The fact that God had just miraculously appeared to Moses and specifically told him that God would use him to lead Israel out of Egypt, whether or not the people believed Moses, was inconsequential. His lack of vision came from little faith. We too have been given incredible promises of God. And we should remember that God is for us. He's given us all we need to do his will and simply calls us to believe and to act on faith. Trust and obey. Believe and act. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" No one is the answer. We can have confidence that God will keep his word. So number two, we have the revelation of God. The revelation of God. Moses was having trouble believing God's word, and his feelings were telling him that this plan wasn't going to work. So God graciously gave Moses yet another miraculous display of his power. Our text tells us, Exodus 4, 2 and 3, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in you in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." So we see God's, letter A, power demonstrated. His power demonstrated. The question that God asked Moses is always where great works for God begin. What is in thine hand? What's that in your hand? God can do incredible miracles with whatever you have to offer him, as long as you give him all of it. I'm going to read that again. God can do incredible miracles with whatever you have to offer him, as long as you give him all of it. Moses probably didn't feel that he had much of anything in his hand. He simply had a stick. Just this rod. The boy at the feeding of the 5,000 never imagined that the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in his hand were worthy of feeding the multitude. Neither did anyone else that was there. You may not feel that you have much of anything worthwhile in your hand either, but it's not a matter of how much or how little you have. What matters is what you do with what you have yielded to him. This is why God asked Moses what was in his hand. When Moses replied that he had a rod, God instructed him to throw it on the ground. And as soon as Moses obeyed, the rod became a serpent. This snake was most likely a cobra, which was a symbol of Egyptian power. This was obviously a frightening moment for Moses, and we read that he fled from before it. And I just thought, you know, that's kind of like we have the Bible in our hand. Sometimes we're a little afraid to peek into it. You know, we kind of run from it. Because what it might, we might have to change something, or you know, or a scary thought. But notice how the miracle continues for Moses. again from our text on Exodus 4, verses 4 and 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And I just thought, well, that's a great example. You know, even though Moses was afraid of it, obviously a cobra, you know, we're going to flee from it, we're going to back up. But he still obeyed God and grabbed the tail. You know, that's a significant thing, to go ahead and obey him, even when we're afraid, and to do that. When Moses dared to trust and obey God, he saw a miracle happen. A great quote from A.W. Tozer there on your worksheet. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. You know, it's easy to plan. Oh, I can do this. I'm going to do it. What we're missing is what we can do with God, which can be the impossible. It was as though God was saying, Moses, I know you have your doubts, but don't forget who you're talking to. Don't forget what I can do. God then performed another miracle for Moses. In our text, Exodus 4, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And again he put his hand into his bosom and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Again, kind of scary, but he obeyed. He obeyed. He got through it. Moses now obeys God a second time, and his hand becomes infected with leprosy. Leprosy, in this period of history, was the great scourge of mankind. No one had answers for the cure, although we find it in some ancient writings that Egypt had thrown some of its wealth and some of its brightest minds on trying to conquer this highly contagious disease that was ravaging the ancient world. And of course, I just had to think of today, you know, with COVID. And, you know, we got all the scientists and the people, you know, ravaging the world. And all our greatest minds are trying to find that and to cure that, you know. And it's just been so heartwarming, even around the church, to hear people, well, you know, I'm trusting God more than the scientists. Now, that's not a call to be foolish and not, you know, shelter when we need to or anything. But first of all, our main thing should be in trusting God. We want to do that first. And the science can come later, as far as I'm concerned. Amen? So, number one, trust God. All their studies in Egypt were to no avail. But as Moses once again continued to trust and obey God, God proved his power by completely healing him. Moses could once again see God's power, reminding him that Jehovah God wasn't simply another Egyptian god. He was the great I Am, the true God. Leprosy in the Bible is often used to picture the ravages of sin and its destructive power. But the same God who cures leprosy is the same God who cures sin when we come to him through Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive us with his blood. 1 John 1:7 there on your worksheet says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. You know, as we know, you know, they used to have to cross the street and if they had leprosy and say, unclean, unclean. And we see today, you know, it's kind of like we see people going, unsaved, unsaved. You know, and God is a cleansing God whose power is demonstrated both in cleansing leprosy, but also in cleansing sin. So, we see his power demonstrated. Now we see his promise declared. His promise declared. After these awesome demonstrations of his power, God then declared another promise to Moses. We see it from our text, Exodus 4, verses 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. Excuse me. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Just in case the children of Israel didn't believe either of the first two miracles, God let Moses know that he had yet another miracle to prove his power. He wanted Moses to believe that he was God and that he was with him. Don't we too often doubt God's promises? We sometimes doubt that a certain man could ever be saved or that a backslider will return to God, but God has promised that nothing is impossible to him. We throw up our hands in frustration when we feel our inability to do anything right. But God says that we can do all things through him, the one who strengthens us. We sink in exhaustion and weariness, yet God beckons us to come to him and receive rest. In our moments of worry about our ministry and family, we feel that we can't go on. So God takes us up in his loving arms and reminds us that his grace is sufficient for us. We realize that we can't figure things out on our own and seem to have no wisdom to guide us, but God promises that he will direct our steps. Our fear cripples us and causes us to doubt every promise that we've received from God, but he encourages us with the truth that he has not given us a spirit of fear. One of the very important reasons why to be in church and be in his word and on the live stream. We feel alone, but God reassures our hearts with his promise that he shall never leave nor forsake us. The question boils down to this: will you listen to your doubts or to God? You must listen to God's promises, living not by your reason up here, but by the revelation of God. Life doesn't run by what we think, but what God promises. The reluctance of Moses in his task was matched by the revelation of God, who spoke truth and showed his power. Because we have, number three, the resources of God. We have his resources. It was one thing for God to say what he would do, but in Moses' mind, it was another thing for him to actually show it. Moses has one last question before he finally trusts God. From our text, Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. After all, though, letter A, God is our creator. He is our creator. Some people say that Moses maybe had a stuttering problem. We really don't know what the speech problem was. You know, I was just thinking, well, he's been talking to sheep for 40 years. Don't need a large vocabulary, you know. And obviously out of practice. So, you know, whatever it might be, one thing is certain. Moses felt insecure about getting the words right correctly out of his mouth. But it was a pattern with Moses throughout this whole conversation. His insecurity stemmed from forgetting the character of who he was talking with. He was talking to the great I Am, the true God, who is eternal, all-powerful, and the creator. So God had to remind Moses that he is the one who created Moses' mouth in the first place. Much of the, as I thought, as he reminded Job of just who he was. Exodus 4:11, and the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? I created you, Moses, and everything about you. Remember who I am. God knew all about the difficulties that Moses encountered, but he was still choosing Moses to serve him. Slowness of speech and all. You don't have to tell God about all the reasons you can't obey and serve him. He already knows all about your insecurities and all the reasons you believe you can't. But as the I Am God, he created you, and he can help you to believe. Moses was making the mistake of looking at himself instead of looking to God. And He's not only our creator, B, He is our teacher. God is our teacher. Having created us and knowing us intricately, God desires to be our teacher. He wants to help us know how to succeed. And this is a promise He made to Moses from our text, Exodus 4:12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God not only had promised to show His power to the people through amazing miracles, but He now promised Moses that He would teach him the exact words to say. God was promising to be with Moses' mouth and directly guide his speech. As long as we are willing to speak out, God will give us the right words to say. The Holy Spirit will remind us of truth and verses and instruct us in what to do. With God as our teacher, we don't have to live by our own power, our own might, our own strength, but by the Spirit of God. I thought so often, you know, and we've talked before off how our messages are overlapping and just how the Holy Spirit has timed all this, you know, and picking lessons months ago for just today and how it all fits together. And there was story after story of our just our porch visits and so many people telling the pastors as they show up, it's just the exact moment they needed to have a visit or a phone call from some of you. It's just God's timing. You know, and just to give Him the praise and glory for that, it is truly a miracle that we're seeing. There on the worksheet, Zechariah 4:6, it kind of was nice to see that our, even the people that do the lesson miss a spell check once in a while, because I think it says Zechariah on your worksheet, but it's Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you want to live on the level of only what you can do and what you can say, living with all the excuses and doubt? Or do you want to live on the level of God's power and strength and make a difference in this generation as you let Him lead you as your teacher and your creator? Because letter C, God is also our helper. He's our helper. Moses still felt unable and even argued against God. You know, here he speaks to him through a bush, you know, with the miracle with a stick, and actually speaking to him, you know, not to mention the miracle. Here's a God is actually speaking to me, and that he still has doubt. But even, you know, like I said, we'd get frustrated and say, okay, I'm just going to find somebody else. I don't know what else I can do here, Moses. That'd be Don Tucker's response, you know. Give me a break. But God still offered him divine help. Wow. Exodus 4:13 through 15. And he said, O my Lord, I pray thee by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach ye what ye shall do. Wow. You know, God just, once again, just saying, okay, I'm just going to help you, Moses, because I'm doing this. Remember, from the map from last week, here was Moses in Midian. He'd gone from Egypt and was hundreds of miles away in Egypt. Yet God brought Aaron all the way out to Midian to interact with him at this exact moment. Out of nowhere, Aaron showed up because God had already prepared Moses' steps to be able to follow him. Exodus 4:27 is there on your worksheet. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Wow, good time for brother to show up. And again, just promised and foretold by God directly to Moses. So in conclusion, God is not limited. He is our helper. He already has the solution coming if you'll just start obeying him. And he kept every promise he had made to Moses. When Moses moved past his doubt, He saw that God had made a way. And we see the result there in the worksheet, Exodus 4:31, a wonderful result. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Wouldn't that be great if that's the result we can have in our community? For just standing up and trusting and obeying and reaching out to the community and just displaying his love, that they would bow and worship the one true God. It's really what we're after. We have the same God today that Moses had. And you have the same choice Moses had. You can believe or you can question God. You can live your life by reason and doubt, or you can choose to live by revelation and deliverance. When you move past your doubt, you will find that God is always faithful, because with God's calling comes God enabling. Let's pray. Father God, we do, again, it's just still amazes me how wonderful your word is, Lord, and this, these examples you give us of humans that are weak and have our doubts and our shortcomings that we can so totally relate to. But God, again, just most great example of still obeying and taking the steps through his doubt to stay close to you and to do your word, and then to see the great miracles that you brought about by using him to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray that that would be our lesson this morning, that no matter our doubts, our history, our background, our upbringing, whatever excuses we might come up with, that you want to use us in our own special way that you would have for us. And it's not based on our abilities. You might use those, but you might call us to do something totally different and out of character. But Lord, if you do, we can know that you will also enable us to do that. That is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Lord, we just pray for that this morning, to enable us to know and to do your will as you would have us to do it. So we thank you for that, Lord, and just bless all that have tuned in and came this morning to hear from you, to help us get rid of our doubts, help us to trust and to obey. Thank you for that message this morning, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, again, we have some great devotions this week to help cement that as you go through the week with the devotions. Again, we sure enjoyed last week's. That really, I expected to have longer hair this morning after the first one, but you know, it's just so amazing how God meets us each day where we're at and what we need. So be in your devotions. I encourage you to follow through and do those out of the workbook. This week is how faith grows. Want to grow your faith? We can do that this week. Number two, belief and unbelief. What that does for us and to us. When, number three, when your feet get wet. I like that. Sometimes you got to step in the river, amen, and get our feet wet. Number four, a two-stick fire. A two-stick fire. That'll be an interesting one. And then number five, I believe God. Don't believe our own selves and our own thinking, our own doubts. Believe God.